How we doing? Welcome to another episode of Hanson Athletics Radio. I appreciate all your support and those that tune in and listen to these. Today we have Daniel Ryan and Brandon, the two strength and conditioning coaches at Idaho State University, and we're going to cover everything from the coronavirus to where the program is headed in the future. Again, I appreciate your support. Take the time to head over to hansonathletics.com. Dive into our blog, our podcast, check out our individualized remote training, and continue to support us because we are very thankful for that. So enjoy the episode. If you have any questions at the end, shoot them over, and hopefully you get some great stuff out of this. Thanks. So we got ISU Strength and Conditioning, the two representatives now here. We have Daniel Ryan, who you all love and know, but we'll have Daniel, for anyone new listening, kind of go over his background quickly, briefly, and who he is, and then we'll have the new guy come through, and he's the new, what's the exact title? Assistant director. Assistant director, I like that. So he just barely moved here to Pocatello. So we'll let Dan start, and then we'll move on.
Yeah, third time on the show, I think.
We've done
this a few times. So.
Other than myself, you're the most consistent guest.
Yeah, we've done it a few times. I'm sure everyone's tired of hearing from me by now, but the big change is I'm not running the show all by myself now. We have some help. We were able to get some funding from a business in town to step up and help us hire a coach. So now we have two strength coaches to handle our 300-plus athletes. So we're moving forward in the world now.
Twice, double the betterness.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the way to look at it.
Hopefully he's even better than me. Yeah. That's the goal. You try to out-hire yourself, I think.
Right. Okay. So,
well, that brings it to me, the new guy, Brandon Stevens, Assistant Director of Strength and Conditioning, and I was previously the head strength and conditioning coach at Western Colorado University in wee little Gunnison, Colorado.
Yeah, and you got the voice for it. So I did a little bit of research on just kind of looking into the program you ran, kind of the response from your athletes when you were leaving and whatnot, and kind of dive in. I think, how long were you there for?
Shoot, I've been associated with Western since 2009, and so that was as a player, played football there very briefly till I blew out my shoulder, then got right into student coaching.
ESPN, everyone.
How is there an update now?
There's an iPad.
Nothing's happening.
There's an iPad. I know, right? Okay, so you've been there for a long time.
Yeah.
Awesome. As a player into a coach. Because what I noticed was, seemed like you had a pretty good, following, buy-in, and culture. So was there, when you were there any certain steps? Was there somebody that came before you that helped start that off, and you feel like you kind of took it and ran with it, or did you instill some principles or daily practices that kind of helped that?
I think it was ever evolving, but to take it back, before I became the head strength coach there, it was all ran by assistant sport coaches. So every individual team was running their own strength and conditioning program.
Okay.
And so when I took over, there's definitely some learning, being a football guy, trying to make those relationships and build upon those with, track and field and cross country and some of those sports that didn't typically use the weight room as much as football did. At the time, it was wrestling, football, even track, and those were your big three that were consistently in the weight room. And so when I got a chance to take the reins, it was, first off, building those relationships, proving to coaches that, I'm not a football coach that does strength and conditioning. A strength and conditioning coach that, works with football.
Yeah. So you mentioned during that time there's a lot, you had to learn a lot. Was there certain resources, organizations, or, coaches that you followed that you felt like helped a lot in that?
Yeah. So luckily for me, the conference I was in, is just filled with some pioneers. Alan Hedrick, he's the head strength and conditioning coach at Colorado Pueblo. He worked at Air Force for the longest time, was with USA Weightlifting, he was just a huge resource that, you know, I could always go to, and he was always willing to help me with whatever I needed or whatever I needed to know. Ron Thompson, he's down at New Mexico Highlands. He actually started the strength and conditioning program at Boise State.
Yeah, and which is pretty good.
You know, learning from his expertise and, you know, what information he was willing to share was awesome. And then Isaiah Castilla at Metro, I think I was talking to him every week, every other week, just trying to, you know, figure things out, because he's been doing some big things over in Denver.
Yeah, that's rad. Cool, so you kind of had to step into that and kind of actually create that almost, that program. As one, because I know I'll have Dan go into this a little bit more about what, because that job that came up, I actually threw it into like our collective of coaches, and there's a lot of people keeping eyes on those, because within that Power Athlete Network, there was like 10 people that said, oh yeah, I saw that. So like, how many applications did you have?
By the time we shut it down, we were still getting applications after we stopped reviewing them, but we were over 100.
Yeah, so
for a one position.
Yeah, it's pretty competitive. It and is. That's even just in like, you know, a lot of people listening to this, well, you're probably my parents, so you know Idaho State, but like Idaho State's not necessarily like a huge school that people like think about or even know about. People are like, "Oh, Iowa State?" And you're like, "No, Idaho State." So, that's how competitive it is. Like something pops up like that and 100 applications for assistant positions. So, what kind of, for those listening that might be like in the field or interested, what kind of made him stand out from the other people?
I mean, once you get through the initial things with HR, you have to have, with NCAA rules, you have to have an accredited certification. For us, that's either the NSCA, the CSCS, or the CSCCA.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those two. Those are kind of the gold standard for collegiate strength coaches.
Yep.
So if you want to move forward, you got to have one of those. That gets you in the door. Mm-hmm. Anymore, it's kind of crazy that it's becoming this way, but a master's degree is, it's not a required thing, but if you want to be competitive with a stack of resumes that go across my desk, having a master's degree is pretty important. It helps.
Yeah.
Experience is part of it. Doesn't have to be the greatest experience ever. You know, we had some very qualified candidates who had, most of their experience was internships and things like that. That there's great coaches out there, but it's just being around. And I would, for our position especially, being I was a one-person show, I needed someone who had experience with a lot of sports and a lot of different athletes, male and female athletes, both different backgrounds.
Yeah.
I couldn't have someone who had only specialized in football their entire career. Doesn't mean they can't do it, but it made it more appealing to have someone who had that background. We're a mid-major school. We're a Division I school, but we're challenged it with resources and staffing, so one of the things with Brandon, him running his own program,
mm-hmm.
kind of creating it from scratch, knowing he was at a D2 school, and financially we're going to be in pretty similar positions.
Yeah.
Where you don't have all the money to have the greatest equipment, you don't have all the bells and whistles and technology, but you find a way to get it done.
Yeah.
So having somebody who's creative and used to that is some, you know, that was important to bring in. If you're coming from a Power 5 school and coming down to work with us at Idaho State, it's going to be a culture shock for you, drastically different. You're not going to have the staffing, the tools, or anything to coach, so
it
change what you're able to do.
Yeah.
And then I think the biggest thing that for him was the organization. This guy walked in, set down a binder on my desk on his in his in-person interview, and had programs laid out for 5 different teams with our actual athlete's name on them, Bengal branded, actual saw the lifts, the reps, the sets, everything. I could get into his thinking for what he would do with programming.
Yeah.
And that said a lot, because that takes a lot of time to put that kind of effort into it. So the amount of effort he put into preparing for it and knowing about us at Idaho State, mm-hmm. not just knowing we're Idaho State.
Yeah.
You know, he researched new coaches by name. He put his time in. It shows you're actually invested in it, and you're not just applying for every job that pops up and hoping something clicks.
Yeah, treating it almost like it is like a Alabama, or you know, like putting in as much effort. And so how long did it take you to, because he actually briefly showed me that and I was like, damn, that's sweet. So how long did it take you to put that together?
I want to say a couple weeks, but I mean you know, being the head guy in the chair, I've been basically doing that for the last 3 years, so it's, it just became a culmination of what I've already been doing, just putting it in their colors, and then doing a little bit more, you know, background check, you know, checking in on okay, what teams am I going to be working with? What's the job description say? Okay, so who are the current athletes or athletes that I could be working with? Let's throw that in there just to make it more personable. And like Coach said, just see that I'm invested and I want to make this the big time. This is my big time.
Yeah, for sure. So. That's awesome. So I guess a piece of advice you can take out of that too is like, even if you're a football guy and you love football, it's like realistically in this field, you need to have a diverse experience too. And if anything, it'll help you even have a wider understanding, 10,000 foot view of what you should be doing with your football guys, right? If you can work with different teams and sports. So,
I mean, it's a little hypocritical for me because I started in that football world. That's what I've done exclusively until I got to Idaho State.
And then maybe you're wishing, oh, I wish I had a little bit more experience.
So when I got here, you know, some of it was learning. I'd worked in the private sector, but that was one of the challenges when I first got here. Everyone was, this is a football strength coach. How is he going to deal with women's tennis?
Yeah.
And I've had to fight that a little bit. So thinking back, that's something I probably would have worked on is diversifying my experience with the teams and training, being willing to help. Maybe you're not in charge of those teams, but you're volunteering, jumping up and helping the other coaches.
Yeah.
When you have the opportunity, if women's tennis is in and football's not in there, get to know them, go work with them, be around whatever coach's program and just being involved. I think the big misconception is people think it's all about who you know.
Yeah.
And it's true to extent, but it's not who you know, it's who knows you.
Yeah.
So when I'm calling people, I want the people who, when I call references, that those coaches are willing to put their reputation on the line for the person who's interviewing for my job.
Yeah.
And that comes across pretty clearly. I don't need the people who are just name dropping the biggest names in strength and conditioning. And I did an internship with this person. And you know, we've talked about it before. If you work for someone for 6 months and they don't remember your name, that's not a good sign. But I call them for a reference check.
Yeah.
That, you know, that's a red flag. So it's, yes, it's who you know, but it's getting the people that you know to be willing to put their own reputation on the line for your betterment.
Yeah.
That's when you're starting to make progress in networking. It's not just racking up these names and saying I had an experience with this person.
And they don't
time.
Even maybe know who you are.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people try to fill their resume with this fluff and those big names that are really going to wow you.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's, you know, the coach that has been at a small school for 30 years and speaks very highly of you and, you know, is almost telling me they wish this person wasn't applying for the job.
Yeah.
You know, when you call a reference check and they're going, I really want to tell you bad stuff about this person because I want them to stay and you did not hire him, but I can't.
Yeah.
Those are the kind of candidates you're looking for.
That's awesome. So that's got to feel good hearing that, right?
Definitely.
Yeah. Awesome. So for you coming in, how's the experience been thus far?
It's been interesting, you know, especially with what's going on in the world right now. I got here, let's see, we left Gunnison, Colorado on February 29th. Got here that night, was in the office Monday morning, ready to roll. Got 2 weeks in, getting to know everybody, start learning the system, and then we get shut down. So
yeah, throws a kink in the process for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. But yeah, as most people listen to this are involved in the gym industry, and that's been something that, you know, kinks in everybody's kind of will. So that can kind of roll into the whole Corona deal. But so a lot of people are familiar with the challenges that just gyms are having in general, because obviously we had to shut down because we're non-essential. So obviously money, right? Money's an issue. And for you guys, it's created – so it throws a kink in your will, but then now, you know, it's kind of uncertain when sports are going to start back up, what's going on there. You guys aren't allowed to have athletes in the weight room at all. So you guys have had to start to transition to what all the other coaches are trying to do in terms of like creating like a way to work with them remotely. So how's that experience been and what challenges? And
It's been challenging. It's pushed us. It's, you don't realize how much of coaching is in person and how you used to it you are until you try to do it remotely.
Yeah.
It's hard to be a coach from your living room.
Yeah.
It's really challenging. So you don't realize how much time you spend on the floor with the athletes every day until that disappears. And you're trying to find different ways to fill your time and connect with athletes. So that's been a challenge. It allowed us to work on a project we were going to do anyways. We wanted to move to a paperless system. mm-hmm. to be able to use remote training when our kids are home. We were going to do that over the summer when we had fewer teams and we could test drive the system and learn it ourselves as coaches, but also slowly introduce it to our teams. We didn't get that chance. We decided just to jump on it now. So
yeah.
we've jumped in and we're using a platform called Team Builder. And it, you know, we're up and running. We're on it. We have workouts posted on it. There's a learning curve right now with our athletes learning how to utilize it and what they can get from it and how to interact on it. So that's kind of the stage we're in right now. But with the gym shutdowns, programming's also challenging too.
Yeah.
The majority of our kids have no access to yeah. any gym equipment. So we're trying to take high caliber Division I athletes and keep them in shape with body weight training.
Yeah.
Which is challenging. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously we can work on different aspects of the, we can work on work capacity, we can work on some muscular endurance, strength mm-hmm. and power, a little bit more challenging to
yeah.
focus on that end of the curve for them. So
yeah.
we're reaching out, trying to get in contact with the kids who do have access to a home gym or maybe a set of dumbbells or maybe some resistance bands. Those kids that have that, we're programming different things for them specifically mm-hmm. to utilize everything that they have available to them. And it's yeah. just having to be creative and try to come up with different ways to keep them engaged.
Yeah, the Power Athlete Crew, they put out this program called Third Monkey or something like that. And it's pretty crazy because what they did is they went to Home Depot and they put together a collection of things that you can get for under $50 because Home Depot's like delivering right now. So from your house for free, they'll deliver. You can, for $50, they got, it's like some cinder blocks, bags of sand, bungee cords, and then they're writing their programming all based on like that $50 home gym setup. It's pretty rad. Because I think the cinder blocks are like they were super cheap. They were like $3.
Yeah.
Like for some reason, cinder blocks are really cheap right now. So that might be something that you can get some of your athletes to grab is like, hey, go to Home Depot and grab cinder blocks and bungee cords because you can stand on the bungee cords, do some stuff like that. Yeah. But it was, yeah, they have like the whole list on their website, but under $50.
It's impressive.
Home gym.
We've had some kids doing that. And some of our kids are lucky. Yeah. They have a full home gym setup in their garage or in their basement, and we're training them business as usual.
Yeah.
And that's great. It's just not the same number. And coaching them remotely is not the same as seeing them every day. It's just not the same, no matter how great the programming is.
100%.
Not being in the team atmosphere with the energy and the sense of, you know, urgency and everything that goes on in a team atmosphere in the college weight room.
Mm-hmm.
For them to try to create that on their own, it just doesn't work. So
yeah,
and we're working through it and we're learning.
And that leads to another like kind of fun talking point is because we've kind of been having these conversations in that collective I'm in, and it's like some of the guys, and I agree, I'm on the side of them where they really revere the word like coach over like trainer. So like training and coaching is something that could be looked at like drastically different. And I've heard some people talking about how, you know, if everybody gets online like this, like, is it going to hurt the actual in-person coaching industry for, like, why would people want to come in here when they can get it cheaper and do it from home? But they kind of revere it in the sense that it's like you said, you highlighted it earlier, like, working with someone remotely, you're more of just a trainer. Like, you can write their training program. You can maybe see their stuff later and give them a couple cues. But, like, the actual art of coaching isn't really occurring. Like, it really takes, like, an in-person emotional type of connection and like feedback real time, in my opinion, to be like coaching someone.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, right now we're starting to work with some of our incoming class
mm-hmm.
for next fall, kids who have signed scholarships with us and will be starting in the fall. Their high school programs have shut down, so they're reaching out wanting to get going on our training.
Yeah.
It's really hard for us. We're trying to incorporate them as much as we can, but we've never met these kids.
Yeah.
We shook their hand on a recruiting visit. We met their parents one time.
Yeah.
But how do you actually get to know this kid? How do you get to connect with them emotionally? How do you learn a little bit about them and give them the right training when you've never met them? It's something you can't replicate that in-person coaching.
Yeah.
There's so many little body language things that you see when you're on the floor coaching someone.
That changes how you would interact with them, too.
Give you so many cues on even on how you're programming.
Yeah.
You can watch how a kid warms up or how they, you know, whatever you have in store for that day, you're squatting. You can see their first set of squat. You see something that doesn't look right. You might drastically change your entire program for the day.
Yeah.
Based on that one nonverbal thing that you saw.
Yeah.
we don't have that. So that's definitely a challenge for us.
Yeah, that's hard. And that's what I found hard too, like over my 8 years of doing the online, is it's like you try to bring as much value as you can. Like I'd give video feedback of me talking about their stuff and whatnot, but it's never the same. It will never be the same as that person to person. So yeah, I was just curious how you, like, I thought that was cool. You brought that up, that was a challenge.
Yeah, especially because for Brandon.
Yeah.
You know, he's brand new. Here for 2 weeks. He had 1 week where he and I worked together in the weight room. The next week, I took off and went with our basketball teams to the Big Sky Conference tournament. So I threw him right to the into the fire, and he ran the weight room for me for a week.
Yeah.
And then we were shut down. So, you know, he's taking half the teams essentially now.
Yeah.
He doesn't know all those kids in 2 weeks. No, so way. How is he going to program for them the best way and connect with them and make them feel involved and keep that family atmosphere from a distance when he, you know, was just getting to the point where he's putting names and faces together?
Yeah.
So he's in a completely different boat than I am, too.
Yeah, that's even harder. So with that, knowing you're kind of at that deficit, is there anything that you're trying to do or, like, tactics you've taken that you feel like will help you start to – understand some of these kids a little bit more before they get back, or is it kind of like not worth the effort? You know, obviously it's worth the effort, but.
Well, we have been, you know, utilizing that team builder platform. We've been reaching out to all the athletes and just checking on, okay, what do you have equipment wise? And then, you know, something we've talked about doing is, you know, just doing either daily or weekly check-ins with them, or just even leaving them our number and email, just being like, hey, just know we're here for you guys and gals, you know, regardless of what you're going through, whether it's training, you just want to say hi, you know, maybe you're feeling down in the dumps because, I mean, this can be a lonely time, you know.
And they're athletes. This is like a big deal. Like now they're not playing their sport, which they've been working for potentially all year. Luckily, I think the NCAA said they could get some of their eligibility back, but some of these kids might be on track to, like it might not make sense for them to come back. They might have lost a year, like their senior year of playing a sport.
They identify as athletes. That's what they are. Identified their entire life.
Yeah.
That's all they know themselves. And that's – I tell them all the time, it's tough. Ending your sport career, whenever that is, whether it's junior high school, college, professionally – very few people have the opportunity to end their sports career when they want to and do it on their terms. Usually you run out of eligibility, you're professional, you get hurt, the teams no longer want you, you're too old, whatever. Not many people get a walk away when they want. Mm-hmm. So it happens to everyone, but, you know, to have a situation like we're in right now and some of our seniors' careers that way, that's a tough pill to swallow for some of them.
Yeah, and I've noticed with our seniors in high school, like, that's not even an option to go back and do it again. So, like, some people have been getting ready all year for, like, I know the high school baseball coach at Highland is having a hell of a time because he's put a ton of effort into this program, working with these kids, and they really were looking, shaping up, and then all of a sudden it's like baseball might not even happen. Yeah. And then these kids are gone.
We have a new softball coach. She's in her first season here.
Yeah.
She had not coached a conference game yet, and the season got canceled.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know.
But an idea that to throw at you guys would be, like, in that network of coaches, there's people that own gyms, and they've been doing, like, mandatory – you can even make it mandatory, really, but like a 10-minute Zoom call, like, with all your athletes at least maybe once a month or once every 2 weeks, however long this – maybe even once a week if you really wanted to put that time in. But just to connect with them face-to-face, hey, how you doing, check in, da-da-da-da. Like, that would probably go a long way. In terms of, like, oh, shit, they really care.
Yeah, I think
trying
to structure that the right way, because all of our sport coaches are doing that right now with their teams.
Oh, yeah.
So some of them are checking in every day with their team. Some are a couple times a week. So structuring it where if Brandon and I want to check in with them, it's not just another thing on their plate. All their classes are online only now, distance-based. They're trying to figure that out. Their coaches are trying to watch film with them over Zoom.
Oh, geez.
They're trying to have position meetings over Zoom.
Yeah.
So for us to jump in and say, hey, we want to talk about weightlifting with you over Zoom. Kids will be all in on. Yeah. You know, they'll love it. That's what they want to do. There'll be some that will resist. And, you know, so for us, it's probably more that once a month model or something like that, just so we're not overwhelming them too.
But they know you care.
But they know we're still invested in them. And, you know, that's why we've really worked on amping up our social media presence.
Yeah.
We spent a lot of time last week brainstorming ideas and putting content together mm-hmm. and trying to come up with strategic plans to get more information out to our athletes. We're not talking to them every day. We can't lecture them about how much they should be sleeping or what they should be eating.
Yeah.
So we're going to meet them where they are, and we're just going to bombard their social media platforms with
endless
amounts of information.
I try to do that just
for everybody.
You know,
we know they have their phone. We know they're going to look at it. Some of it might go, you know, right through their head, but every once in a while something's going to stick.
They'll notice something.
So we're trying to find different ways to meet them where they already exist.
Yeah, I like that.
So.
No, and you guys can potentially, like, once stuff ramps back up, like, there's some pretty strict rules on, for, like, example, at the clinic, we can't share anything of the athletes going through physical therapy because the NCAA doesn't allow it.
Right.
But you guys can share them lifting and such, correct?
We can. Yep. We generally, it's one of those things we need to obviously get their permission to make sure they're okay with it.
Yeah.
We can't be profiting off their likeness. We can't use it to advertise anything, but we're not advertising anything. We use social media, and the reason we created it is to highlight our athletes.
Yeah.
There's so much that college athletes do that the public doesn't see.
Mm-hmm.
They see the 20 to 30 games they play a year or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, if it's football, the 12 games you play in a season. That's all they see. They don't see the 12 months of preparation these kids put in for those limited number of hours. So, you know, from our perspective, we want to highlight that. And it's, you know, it's not always the superstars. The superstars get all the attention in the games. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of kids that we work with doing amazing things and making great progress in the weight room, but they're not that big name on the team, so they don't get it. So we want to highlight those kids too and show them they're working just as hard trying to do everything that every other athlete is. So we're trying to give everyone the same platform to, you know, if nothing else, their parents like to get on and see that.
100%.
Oh, they actually did get up at 6 a.m. and lift weights today. You know, it's good to see them. So
I think it'd be cool. Yeah, I think that'd be cool if you guys got that going, because – this community also is pretty, like, small. It's not very competitive on the social realm.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if you're consistently putting stuff out, a lot of people in the community will see that. And potentially, like, you just got here, but things have been snowballing in a lot better direction than they were before. Like, when I was growing up here, and even when, like, right before Dan started, like, things are going in a better direction. And it's just, like, getting that community behind that movement more so than just, like, showing up to like three or four games and be like, well, they lost four games again this year that I went to, I'm out. You know, like getting people just to see that, like you said, that investment that these athletes are making and getting the community behind them more. Because I'd really love to see ISU just thrive, you know, especially
I keep telling people we're on the verge. We're taking steps in the right direction.
Yeah.
It's going to be a process, but just like anything, it's just like strength and conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
You don't work out one day and all of a sudden you're strong and fast.
Or everybody would be strong and fast.
It takes time. Yeah. It's never perfect. Yeah. You're not going to fix it in one night. Yeah. So I kind of approach it the same way. You know, little by little, we make these small changes every day. The next thing you know, we look up a couple of years from now, we're like, wow, we've come a long ways. This is impressive.
Well, even just in the last 2 years, like, or 3 years, it's a huge difference in my mind in terms of, like, what I've seen buying in the weight room, people starting to get behind being like proud to be a Bengal. Like, I know kids in town that we train that it's like, I would love to go to ISU. And when I was in high school, we were like, dude, you're going to ISU to play football? Yeah. That's like a cop out, you know? Like, it's cool to see kids here that want to play at ISU, right? And then obviously new facilities are starting to show up, like money's being donated. So I think it'll be cool when you guys get that track done and like be able to host meets there and have the soccer games there and all that. So I think it's going in a good direction. So it's just like, how do you navigate now this little wrench in the...
No, the good thing for me is I'm not doing it by myself right now.
Yeah.
Trying to figure this out on my own. I have Brandon here to bounce ideas off and give him tasks. And
yeah.
He's been great jumping on new things, bringing new ideas. So we've been able to accomplish a lot of tasks that have been on my to-do list or things I've wanted to do for a long time.
Yeah.
But just never had the time to invest in it.
Yeah, because
and
get
it done because I'm
there's like a pecking order of what you need to get done, and if you're the only guy, it's like I can't just like okay, I'm gonna skip programming and talking with my athletes and work on the social media.
Yeah,
like that. Like that.
I'm not gonna perfect our Instagram post schedule because I need to write some programs, and then I got these athletes for the next 10 hours. So that's been great, and he's had good ideas, and you know, just collaborating with another coach.
Yeah,
which I something I haven't had for 3 years. Because I've been on my own.
Yeah.
I came out of a system where I was a GA and we had other coaches to bounce ideas off of. And I think the best coaches in the business realize they don't know everything.
I think any relevant coach in the business
you need to
knows
learn
that they
and,
don't
like,
know.
You don't have all the answers. And, you know, we were talking about earlier getting so dogmatic about one single training approach is just so crazy to me.
Yeah.
So to have Brandon here to have his thoughts and opinions and ideas, and we can just discuss things, doesn't mean we always get along with it and agree on everything, but you have that discussion and we're improving ourselves for our athletes.
For sure. So have you guys, is there a couple things off the top of your head that, like you mentioned social media, is there some other stuff you guys have talked about working on, or maybe some ideas that Brandon brought to the table from where he was at that you were like, that's a great fit here? Or
Biggest thing, one of the reasons why we ended up hiring him is he had some tangible ideas in the interview process of things that, like, if he stepped into this role that he would be want to take on.
Yeah.
So one of the things he's working on right now and helping me develop, that another one of those wish list items that we just never got to, is he's working on developing an internship program.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
So that's kind of his progress, and he's got some great ideas of how he did it at Western and how other coaches have done it. So, I mean, he could tell you more about it because I kind of put that on his plate.
No, dig in on maybe the top couple ideas you have, because here, like, I made an online kind of coaches course, but the idea for that whole thing of me putting that curriculum together, which it's still like, it's sellable now, but it's not where, like, because it's going to be longer, so it's not finished. What I want that to do is be like, I want to also be able to have interns here and develop them kind of like you would see at a college weight room, right? And then potentially to become coaches here. So I'm interested in hearing like what kind of stuff you were doing, or, you know.
Yeah, definitely. So what we've done in the past, I mean, it was one program, and what I would like to implement here, which I think we have the resources to do, is do more of a tier-based system. So what I mean by that is, you know, most of the interns, you know, coaches gotten over the years are students, you know. They're just to graduate, and then you have the few that, you know, they actually want to get into the field. So I would like to, you know, take that same approach. Okay, who are just our practicum kids, you know, just trying to get a few credits to graduate? Okay, what are their expectations? You know, probably very minimal. Maybe, you know, helping, you know, clean up the weight room, doing a lot of shadowing, observing, maybe help spot, you know, just really just kind of getting a feel of what a collegiate weight room setting looks like.
Yeah.
And then for that next tier, you know, the ones that, okay, this is a field I can dig. I think I could see myself in it. Okay, now we get a little bit more advanced, a little more detailed. We, for lack of better words, we put a little bit more time investment in that.
Yeah.
And so it's like, okay, you got a couple of assignments. Okay, you're working with, you know, women's volleyball. Okay, so I want to see you develop a 4-week program.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, you're working with men's golf as well. Let's see your 4-week program for this phase.
Yeah.
Reading articles, just articles based on, you know, how to get the most out of your internship.
Because
for a lot of us in the field, there's a lot of unpaid time that we put in. To put it lightly.
Yeah.
So what are you getting? What is your compensation for that in terms of knowledge and content?
Yeah.
And then we want that third tier, which is going to be a full-blown professional internship. You know, whether that's unpaid or paid, you know, it's, hey, you're in there when Coach Ryan and I are in there, and then you don't leave until
this,
we leave.
So get the full experience.
Exactly. Like, show you what the life truly is
before you think you want to do it.
Yeah,
find out. Everyone wants to be a college strength coach till they realize
until it's
the other
5 to 8.
Yeah, until it's that 4:30 wake up call every day, and you're not leaving till 7. Like, don't get me wrong, we have a great job. There's a lot of things that are amazing about it, but that's one of the things I liked about when he presented me this tier system. Is, you know, I challenged him. I want to create an internship program where we're creating the next.
Yeah, somebody that could step in.
The next level of college coaches to replace us.
Or they're like, hey, do you have somebody good? And you're like, yeah, right here.
Someone took us when we started and gave us that same thing. We all have, you know, we're here because of other coaches. We didn't get here on our own.
Yeah.
So to pay it back to the industry and create that. So I challenged him to that. And then when he presented this tier system, I thought that's great.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you have interns that you need. You need people to set up the weight room, to clean up, to disinfect now thanks to COVID.
Yeah.
You know, those kind of tasks, you need those people who are going to do that, and then you'll have those athletes who and students who want to do it just for their 3 credits, and yeah. they're happy doing that. But then I also want to create that system where we're producing coaches and sending them to other places.
Yeah.
And that's how you put Idaho State on the map, too, from strength and conditioning.
Yeah.
People start to realize we produce quality coaches. People want to work here. People want to see what we're doing and being involved, and it kind of creates that snowball effect.
Yeah, so do you envision it like, let's say it's somebody that's like, hey, I'm really into this. Like, do they start level one, though, and then work their way up? Like, do they got to clean the gym? Do they got to be a part of that? I mean, I think there's some value to just, like, kind of working your way up, you know?
Grunt work.
Yeah.
You definitely have to. That's going to be a part of it. Even if you're in the professional, I mean, us as the paid strength coaches,
yeah.
I tell all my athletes, I joke around that I'm the highest paid janitor in America.
Yeah, because you're cleaning.
Because I spend time cleaning bathrooms and wiping down floors. And,
yeah.
And, you know, so that's definitely part of it. You have to know what the job entails.
Yeah.
Being a strength coach is not just standing on the floor.
It's not sexy always.
Doing weightlifting.
Yeah.
Like, I found that out in the last 2 weeks. I sat in 4 different Zoom meetings today, and 3 of them had nothing to do directly with the weight room.
Yeah.
You know, different administrative meetings and discussions with coaches and things like that that people don't realize that's what you deal with on a daily basis. But, yeah. you know, to create that program and give those interns the chance to sit down and be in one of those not very enjoyable meetings with a sport coach when they come in questioning your program and why you're doing this and telling you that you're not going to do this exercise anymore.
And because really in this field, like, you need to be prepared to have those conversations and have like your canned response in the beginning to like answer that or calm that down and not just like come up with something. Like, you need to be prepared.
Yeah.
For someone to come in and challenge you and be like, no, this is why.
And it's going to happen. You have to give a reason. And some of those battles you're going to lose. I've learned.
Yeah, you don't win them
all.
You got
to pick and choose your battles. You know, if I got to give up a certain exercise,
yeah,
you know, to get something later that's more important to me, I'm going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And try to. But that's something as an intern, you know, if you don't have those experience, you're not really prepared for the job if you haven't been able to be in on that. So, you know, those are the things we discussed about that Brandon's kind of working on building into this program, where it's essentially a set curriculum, just like any class they would take in college, where each week as the internship coordinator, you know, he's going to have assigned readings. He's going to have daily check-ins. They're going to run staff meetings, things like that, and get involved that he's going to facilitate to give them the real taste of what it is to do this job.
I like that. That's what kind of my structure is on my thing. It's like an assignment, a quiz, and then like a practical. So if they're coaching, actively coaching, it's like, okay, this is the concept. Now go apply it for a week with your clients or your athletes and then report back at the end of the week on what progress you saw, what challenges you met, did this help, did it not, and whatnot. So like having them actually practice that on the floor, like with your people that are trying to get there, it's like that'd be huge. And then have them present, because being able to present and talk through stuff, like not only does it make you learn faster from what I've learned, but it's one of the most powerful tools you can have, is to like stand in front of people and convince them of something.
It's the number one skill.
If you can't do that, like if you can't present, you could be the smartest, like you could write the best programs in the world.
And to go off of that, I mean, it's probably one of the number one skills that most people are uncomfortable with.
Yeah.
And, you know, we preach to our athletes all the time, like, life's not comfortable.
Yeah.
You know? And so we always challenge them to get out of their comfort zone. Putting 400, 500 pounds on your back isn't comfortable when you're going into a squat. And so, you know, having those teaching experiences, being in uncomfortable positions where you have to teach somebody content, you actually have to know your stuff in order to teach, I think it's very valuable.
Yeah, that'd be awesome if you guys, I mean, because right now it's like, it's non-existent, that program.
Yeah.
Like you had some people help out that were like athletes that were doing, not only playing football on the football team, but also were like.
Yeah, we've had some great interns in the past who really wanted to do it. And then we had some that, you know, I end up asking myself, why am I even letting you be? I'm spending more time working with you than doing my actual job.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's, and that was one of the things in the interview process with Brandon. He was excited about that, about building that program. And when I told him some of the things that did not and do not exist here, but I want to create, he was willing to jump in and say, yeah, I'll take that on. I got that.
Yeah.
I got it covered. You know, it's nice to have that backup to have someone else to work on that project and hopefully turn this into an actual strength and conditioning program.
That's rad. You going to build it like all on paper or are you going to put it on like an online system?
I think at the moment it would be, you know, Excel.
Yeah.
And then eventually I have thought about this as, you know, whether using a online platform of some sort,
yeah,
and recording presentations,
yep,
and,
yeah,
you know, little tidbits of whatever the content we're learning for that week or month or,
mm-hmm,
day, you know, that's big picture.
Yeah. Cause I built it out and the one I can show you guys, but super simple. It has like a $20 a month fee, but I mean, it makes it look sexy.
Yeah.
And it's something you can easily assign to people and they can go through it, unlocks week by week. And it's something maybe you could also use as a curriculum for, I don't know if you ever can find ways for credit, like maybe Shad's people that are doing the CSCS can actually come in and do some of,
yeah,
that with you guys. And like, because he has a class that he teaches there, but he's like, I don't have anywhere for these guys to get like actual practicum, like coaching hours.
Yeah, and that's one of the things, yeah, you know, we've talked about creating that relationship with the exercise science department.
Yeah.
It's great you want to do it,
but
when you're a one-person show, how,
yeah,
do you have time to,
yeah,
do that? So having Brandon here and having the ability to go over and talk with Shad and say, hey, let's brainstorm, give me some kids,
yeah,
and get people who are actually interested in the profession,
mm-hmm,
not just who want to, I want to be a strength coach because I like working out.
Yeah.
Like that doesn't,
it's a whole different,
it doesn't,
yeah,
work. It's a different thing. Just because you like going to the gym doesn't mean you're going to like this job.
Yeah.
Because more times than not, our own training is put on the back burner for training everyone else.
Yep, 100%.
You know, the chance, there's times you, for a long time, I have a 20-minute break. Okay, what can I do in 20 minutes for a workout as best I can? And, you know, you'd like to have a structured program, but it's just not feasible. It's hard to
hammer curls, that's it, baby.
Or it's 4 a.m., 8 p.m. Yeah. Yeah.
Hammer curls and shrugs.
Yeah.
The important stuff, the polo.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Feel the
but,
sleeves.
No, yeah, that's cool. That's really cool that you guys are going that direction, I know. And I know there's a couple people in the community that can be, get behind, like, kind of doing that and maybe having brainstorming sessions, kind of like,
mm-hmm,
what this podcast is, where, you know, you're a small staff right now, but I know the gym owners would be happy to, I mean, I want to learn from you guys and vice versa. So I think there's the community of people here that are behind that. But that's awesome, man. So cool. So, Brandon, I always like to end it with, you know, do you have a book or two that you have read lately that you think would be impactful, whether it's not necessarily, doesn't have to be like a strength and conditioning oriented. It can be anything.
Yeah. Start With Why was a great one. The two books I'm reading now, and I've kind of stole this from my previous assistant, where I do a strength and conditioning related book. I read something fiction, so
yeah,
like fantasy type stuff.
I like that.
And then, you know, something in between that's either going to help my personal development in whatever way, shape, or form, whether that's mindset training, financial, whatever. And so right now what I'm reading is The System. It's a great book. I just finished Mind Gym.
Mm.
It's a sports psychology book. The last book I'm reading is it's one of the Forgotten Realms series. So
there you go.
Elves and
there you go.
Fantasy and all that. So
love
something
those.
That takes you away from reality,
yeah,
and helps you,
yeah,
fall asleep at night.
So. Yeah. So quickly, because I just brought up in my head, and that's what we notice huge here with especially our high school athletes, is the first change we see, and I'm not 100% sure like what the formula is yet, is just like the confidence that ensues from coming in here and working with us, like the mind, the switch of the mindset. And the parents come to the parents are telling us, like, I don't know what you guys are doing, but they're so much more confident. Like that's even more at the beginning, like more important probably for like your incoming athletes than anything.
Yeah.
And to build off of that, and, you know, going back to our, you know, social media content. So something we're going to be moving forward pretty heavily with is every Monday is posting some mindset, lessons and activities, you know, and just some education for our student athletes and really anyone who follows us. They can do the activities and lessons themselves that are based off that book, Mind,
yeah,
Gym. And for those of you that haven't read it, it's 225 pages, and every chapter is about 5 pages long. So yeah, it's easily readable.
It's not too bad.
Knock out a chapter in 5 minutes.
Awesome. And real quick, where do they follow you guys at?
At ISU Strength on all the platforms. Twitter, Instagram. We're starting a YouTube channel.
Woo!
It started. We have no videos
Let's
up.
Let's go.
It's kind of hard to film videos when we have no athletes. I'll be the first subscriber, baby. It's a videoless channel, but that'll partner in with Team Builder. So when we send out workouts to our athletes, it's going to be us or our interns performing the exercise the way we want it done.
Gotcha. So your own video library.
Yeah.
Are you guys going to put it out there like unlisted, or are you going to put it out so anybody can access it?
I think it'll be out for whoever.
Yeah, I was wondering where you guys stand on that, because like there's different programs are like, well, we don't want anybody to see what we're doing. Or are you guys going to try to put out a bunch of content that...
I mean, we haven't discussed that in particular, but my thought is there's no secrets.
Yeah, that's my thought too.
I mean, if anyone wants my programs, I'll send them to them.
Yeah.
I don't care who you are. I can send you my program. No one can coach my program the way I coach it.
Yeah.
That's what separates us as coaches, I think, is how we coach it.
Yeah.
We can write. If you go across the country, the majority of us in the college realm are doing the same things.
Yeah.
Or very similar. Exercise selection is very similar. A lot of things are the same. It's how we approach the creating the culture and the mindset and everything like that. That's what differentiates us from each other. So
yeah,
I don't think there's any secrets. It's not like a football playbook where you got to hide your secret plays and trick plays.
Which is
that.
Funny, because like there's not that many new secret plays.
No.
You know,
but
what I'm saying?
For me,
like,
yeah. It's like, I don't think there's any secrets. I'm any coach who wants to know more and wants to come check out the weight room or sit and talk, we're open to it.
Yeah. That, and I think that's a great point too. It's like, sometimes people think there's like a secret swirl program, and it's not like you could take any program and you could see it ran one way. And then like, if somebody really like got in the specificity of it and like the principles of it and was very strict on, you know, how it was ran, it could look like two whole different things. Right. It's like, it's not really always a majority of the time. It's not about sets and reps.
No, I don't care what you're doing. If you're consistent about it and you attack everything with effort and intention, you're going to get better.
Yeah.
It does not matter what exercises you're doing. Now, there's better exercises to, you know, really hit that high-end peak, but majority of coaches aren't working with those elite-level high-end athletes.
Yeah.
Even at the Division I college level, we're working with a lot of athletes that are very basic when it comes to their ability in the weight room and what they can do.
Yeah.
So we're not doing these mind-blowing things. We're just getting really good at the simple stuff that's going to pay off for them on the field.
Yeah, that's even like what R.I.P. Kobe Bryant, but that's what he said is all about, basics.
Yeah.
It seems like every great player ever is like, it's just I'm really good at the basics. And that's like, that's what I noticed too, like when I was coming in and helping a little bit. Like in this area, a lot of the cross country, like those kids aren't even touching a weight room until they get to college.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, it doesn't need to be sexy at all. It's like they're just learning, like, you know, and they're going to make massive gains just from learning because they haven't done it before.
Yeah.
Like being a novice is great. Like if you make it to college and you're a novice, like you're going to see those gains that I wish I could go back to when you're like 18 and start lifting. You're like, my squat's going up 40 pounds a week.
You know? Those are the kids who make us look like the best strength coaches in the world. We feel great coming home.
Yeah.
His bench went up 150 pounds this month. We're great at this job. Yeah. This is easy.
No bad habits to break.
It's like, let's just teach fresh, buddy.
Yeah.
Awesome. Cool. And Dan, so do you have any... Let's go podcast. You got a podcast you like to listen to, obviously, other than this one that you listen to religiously.
I think the one I've been listening to the most recently is The Art of Coaching.
Yeah.
We've talked about it before, Brett Bartholomew. Just like we're talking, sets and reps, mm-hmm. we all know it. There's a million ways to do it. Doesn't mean I don't read that stuff
mm-hmm.
and get into it. But I think one thing that I've been working really hard to get better at is the other side of it. People want to call them the soft skills, whatever it is, creating buy-in, getting kids to actually enjoy the weight room and look forward to it and build that confidence. So I listen to that quite a bit, and most of what he talks about is not the X's and O's of the weight room.
Yeah. He got a lot of flack for that stuff you put out at first, too.
Oh, people have been on him and saying it's soft, it's not coaching. But that's kind of the realm I come from a little bit more. So it makes sense to me, and I think it helps with our athletes. You know, we try to see them as people first.
100%. I mean, in here with our high school, I mean, we're not ever screaming at kids ever.
No.
Ever. We're like the most positive go lucky dudes like they are around all day. And I think that's why they get confidence, right? So they're already getting tore down enough or in other aspects of their life. So it's like, you're going to have a good time when you're in here.
Yeah. You know we're the big brothers. The strength coach.
That's another thing, too, just kind of build off that. Like, training should never be, like, unenjoyable.
No.
Like,
yeah.
You're training to be successful in whatever you're doing, so why not enjoy it? You may not like the exercises you're doing or the sets and reps or whatever or the conditioning that coach is having you do, but you feel accomplished after.
Yeah. Yeah, if you don't, then you're not making progress, in my opinion. And then they're developing, like, obviously, like you said, you're a big brother. You feel like you have that relationship with them. The last thing you want to do is take an athlete, break their love for taking care of their body. They get out of sports, and then now they never want to touch a weight again. And then they just get overweight, have health problems. Mm-hmm. Oh, I used to be a great player, like out of shape. Everybody knows those stories. And it's like, I'd rather teach, like, have them step out and be able to take care of themselves and love it and continue the iron game for like the rest of their life. Like, that's the biggest gift I think you could give athletes is not only getting their performance better, but a majority of them aren't going to go play professional. It's like, if you can just get them out of there happy with it, like, doing a great job, making progress, and then in love with improvement, mental, physical, dude, that's world-class strength program right there.
For sure.
You know what I'm saying? Cool. All right. Well, we'll wrap it up. Thanks for being on, guys.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That concludes another episode of Hanson Athletics Radio. Thanks for tuning in and making it to the end. We appreciate the support and the time you guys spend taking in the information we're trying to put together for you. Hopefully this was beneficial to you in some way. If you have any questions or concerns, please send them over via our website, hansathletics.com. We would love to help you take out the time to check out our remote training options. And we would love to assist in this time where a lot of people are stuck at home and don't have their gym. So if you guys need anything, feel free to reach out. Again, thanks for listening. Please like, share, subscribe, leave us a review, and we appreciate the support. Thanks, guys.